Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to Knowing Christ Ministries on Blog Talk Radio. We are a series Before the Rapture, where we're covering topics to help assure that you are rapture ready. A couple weeks ago, we started a series on the armor of God. And I want you to note that this is supplemental information, as I've said, to the Armor of God series that ran in our broadcast on spiritual warfare that's available in our archives. So for those who have listened to that in the past, some of this might be review, but it in general assumes that you know some of the basics on the armor of God. So again, as I've done in other weeks, I've got a brief introduction and then we'll get into the specifics on the pieces of armor. But let me start with reading what Scripture tells us about the armor of God. This refers to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. And as you know, and as we'll continue through the rest of this series, the armor of God is not just isolated to Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. It's actually mentioned either wholly or in pieces throughout the Old and New Testament. So anyway, the whole armor of God. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, being girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with power, with prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So what does Scripture say, or what does Paul rather say in Scripture, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, which I just read? He basically says we're fighting a spiritual war and the stakes now are higher than ever as we're near the tribulation time. Kevin Halloran states, any smart soldier in battle takes his role very seriously. He needs to train both his body and mind for the perils of war and the wiles of the enemy if he will come out victorious. He needs to know his own strength, the strength and strategies of his enemy, and where his strength comes from. If he fails to follow protocol and the commands from his commander, it could mean danger for him and his platoon and even cost them their lives. Well, the same is true for Christians who are soldiers in God's army. We have to put on the full armor of God to stand against the schemes of Satan and fight for the truth of God. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20, I like going all the way through 20, the Apostle Paul calls Christians to wear the protective armor of God and wield the spiritual weapons given to us. We put on the spiritual armor of God and engage in spiritual warfare by applying truth, living righteously, proclaiming the gospel of peace, taking up the shield of faith, donning salvation as a helmet, and fighting with God's word as our sword. You have to understand, and I've said this for the past 3 weeks, our only recourse is to fight on the spiritual level with the spiritual tools the Lord gave us for this purpose, the full armor of God. And that's the belt of truth, which we talked about the first week. Then we talked about the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of peace, and the shield of faith, and the shoes of peace. Today we're going to get into the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and possibly the sword of the Spirit. There's also a seventh item to the armor that I add called the cloak of zeal. It's not in Ephesians, but it's definitely something given to us by the Lord for our fight in spiritual warfare. If we look at Isaiah chapter 59, verse 17, he references the cloak of zeal. Isaiah 59:17 reads, for he put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head, and put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. And of course, we also know from 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 7 about the full armor of God. As it says, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. Romans chapter 13, verses 11 through 14. And do this, knowing this time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. The two key things you have to take away from that and from our basic intro and from this whole series, you cannot put on the armor of God if you still follow the ways of the world and belong to darkness. It's not going to work. It's like putting on like a soldier putting on armor and fighting for the enemy, because your armor is going to be totally ineffective. The other thing is you absolutely cannot pick and choose which parts of the armor you want to wear. You have to wear it all. Let's get into today's discussion, starting with the shield of faith. Scripture says, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. The words above all means that faith is of paramount importance. In other words, the other pieces of armor that we're looking at won't work without faith. And as I said, you've got to put on the full armor of God. But the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That's from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Romans chapter 1, verse 17 says, the just shall live by faith. All of this is activated by our faith in what God says. The shield is a defensive piece of armor. It's used to deflect the fiery darts or flaming arrows. And this actually refers to one of the most commonly used tactics of the day. And the objective was, because you've got this barrage of flaming arrows, that was to demoralize and confuse the adversary. So the Roman soldier would pick up his shield to protect them from those arrows. The preliminary attacks always occurred before the enemy came into direct contact with you. And this is really important to understand as a Christian, because we're in spiritual warfare. Remember, preliminary attacks always occur before the enemy comes into direct contact with you. From those fiery darts and arrows, the objective was to kill as many of our enemies with the arrows first, and then you go in for all-in-all hand combat. Well, in the same way, Satan has arrows that he fires at you. His arrows are swift and they're silent, and we don't receive any advanced warning of their arrival. They come in expectedly and unusual at times when we're just vulnerable. Maybe you had a thought of hatred or thoughts of terror. What happens? What if it does happen? You feel a little guilty about it. And then, of course, here comes the devil, who's the accuser of the brethren, and moves in for the kill and says, how could you be thinking about something like that first thing in the morning? What's wrong with you? What kind of a Christian do you think you are? Kind of a clever strategy, huh? So when those thoughts come to you and you say, I resist in the name of Jesus Christ, that is nothing more than a fiery dart, a flaming arrow. I am not going to entertain it, nor am I going to feel condemned by you for tempting me with it. Well, you just use the shield of faith by saying that. Let me repeat that again. When you have a fiery dart coming at you, you loudly proclaim, I resist that in the name of Jesus Christ. That is nothing more than a fiery dart, a flaming arrow. I am not going to entertain it, nor am I going to feel condemned for being tempted with it. If you base your Christian life on your fluctuating emotions, though, you're going to be defeated. This is a real key point. Because there's going to be times when you just don't feel God. There's going to be times when you don't feel that great. That's when you have to take God at his word and you apply faith towards it. So let's talk about a little bit more. When the enemy shoots flaming arrows at us, he shoots arrows of criticism, of fear, of covetousness, of anger, depression, doubt, lust, and every other type of temptation. And I'm telling you, he hit me bad yesterday afternoon. I'm not going to get into the details and the drama, but he hit me bad. I talked to the Lord a lot. A lot. And definitely through the early morning hours when I could not sleep because I was extremely upset about something. And I know it was spiritual warfare. I had a Bible study last night and talked about it with my girls. And, yep, they're going through, I mean, you know, not the exact same situation, but same thing. It's all spiritual warfare that we're going through. And, you know, after making a couple decisions, talking to the Lord, making my decisions based on that and the skills that he gave me, I woke up in complete peace, which shocked the heck out of me. Shield of faith, people. Shield of faith. It represents trust in God's personhood. Believers learn to trust God by knowing his character. And how do we know his character? From Scripture. We learn to trust God by knowing his promises. And we learn to trust God, trusting God's personhood by faithfully walking with him, not waiting to catch up with him, not saying, oh, I'll go for God later after I try and deal with this on my own. You walk with him side by side. You need to run to God when life is difficult if you're not walking with him. But you also need to walk with him when life is good and even when life is just so-so. What does Genesis chapter 15:1, getting back to a shield, say? Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. In other words, that shield would protect Abram from everything. It's the shield of faith, and Abram definitely demonstrated his faith in the Lord. The shield of faith refers to dependence on the body of Christ, being the church. The way shields were constructed, they interlock with their fellow soldiers to form a wall or like a roof of sorts, kind of hooking together by their edges. And for this reason, we need to depend on the body of Christ, the church, our fellow believers, so that we can interlock our spiritual shields. And by covering the entire body, we're also protecting our neighbor and being able to depend on their shields to protect us when ours falls or is batted away in battle. It's the same as frontline soldiers carrying larger shields to protect those behind them. The shield joins together can become a shelter. I love thinking of God providing us with shields as a form of shelter for us. Anyway, the shield of faith also refers to living a life of faith, a life serving God. And that includes stepping out of your comfort zone and using your spiritual gift. So let's talk about some application questions. When you pursue God, what spiritual attacks have you personally experienced? Have they increased or decreased the more you pursue God? These are really critical questions. Next, what aspects of the shield of faith stand out to you the most and why? And finally, how do you feel God is asking you personally to take up your shield of faith? What does he want you personally to do with your shield of faith? All right. Let's get into the helmet of salvation. Let me see how much time I have left. All right, I think we can get to the helmet of salvation. Technically, the last item that soldiers put on was the helmet of salvation, their helmet, okay? For us, we know it's the helmet of salvation, but when a soldier's putting on their armor, they start with the belt, then they go to the breastplate, we've talked about that, and the last item they put on is technically I'm looking through my pages here. I'm sure we'll talk about the servant of spirit after. Okay, so technically the last item they put on when donning their armor is the helmet of salvation. In warfare, the enemy commonly attacked the head since the soldier's mind controlled his decisions and reactions in the fight. So to harm the enemy's head was to gain an advantage in combat. Well, the same thing is the same in spiritual warfare, and I'm going to get into that. Let me just look at a couple things. Because in spiritual battle, the helmet is symbolic in protecting one's mind, which is basically our command central. Most temptation comes in the realm of thoughts. What does Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7 say? As he thinks in his heart, so is he. Well, Satan recognizes the value of getting a foothold in one's thoughts and imagination, because this is going to prepare the way for the thought to translate into actions. Basically, you sow a thought and reap an act. So what did Jesus say in Matthew chapter 5, verses 27 to 28? And this is from the New Living Translation. He said, you have heard the commandments that says you must not commit adultery, but I say to you, anyone that even looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery. Talking about the mind. Jesus was saying that sin is not merely a matter of actions and deeds. It's something within the heart. It's something that starts in the mind, which the helmet of salvation has to protect, and ultimately leads to action. Sin deceives me into thinking that because I have not done the actual act, I'm all right. As long as I don't do it, it's okay. If I just think about it, if I just fantasize about it, I mean, fantasies are great, right? No. I could just toy around with it and that's fine. No. You see, it's not enough to just not do the deed. You have to stop thinking about it. Stop wanting it. Otherwise, that foothold is only a matter of time that translates into action. Well, God brings every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Isn't that awesome? In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 through 5, we read, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And what does Satan do? He exalts every high thing that is in conflict with the righteousness of God. And unfortunately, too many people today are empty-headed. They allow any influence to enter their mind. The only way to really protect against ungodly influences is to fill your mind with things of the Lord, which is why Colossians chapter 3, verse 2 says, set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. And finally, what does Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 say? And this is one of my favorite verses. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And I catch myself thinking about that so frequently, that scripture verse, because I can be watching a movie on TV and suddenly a scene comes on. And it's like, I don't think I should be watching this. This is not lovely. This is not pure. This is not admirable. This is not noble. This is against what Scripture says. I am not. This is not right. This is not for me. So again, I'm flipping back and forth through a lot of things. The helmet of salvation represents assurance of salvation. Of future salvation, as Paul calls the helmet of future salvation in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8, reading, but since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. Hope of salvation implying, as we know, and as I've been beating you up with my narrative in Scripture, the helmet of salvation is a protective helmet for us from God to protect our minds from the discouragement and despair of the world. We've been called out of this world and need not focus on it. Remember, we don't belong here. This is not our home. This is a temporary residence. We've been called out of this world as Christians, as part of the body of Christ, and we need not focus on all the trappings that are going on in this world today, all the discouragement, all the craziness, all the insanity politically and socially, and all that with COVID and the Biden administration. We don't need to worry about that. We shouldn't be focusing on it. Our focus has to be on what is good and righteous. Just because we're tempted to sin, we can still sin in thought, because that's where Satan loves to do his manipulation even more. And he'll twist God's truth and mess with our minds and create doubt and cause us to let down our guard. The helmet of salvation. Remember, this is a spiritual war. The helmet of salvation is God's protection against Satan's attacks for our mind. Please, please, please remember, it's not enough to not do something. You need to not want to do something bad. So, what do we know? We know both Paul and Peter scripturally taught the need for assurance. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5 says, examine yourselves to see if you are in faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Jesus Christ is in you, unless, of course, you fail the test? 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10 says, therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fail. In other words, all believers have to examine themselves to see if their salvation is real. And you have to actively and eagerly pursue that assurance. Full obedience to God and his word is a proof of true salvation. What does John chapter 8, verse 31 say? Jesus himself says, if you abide in my words, then you are truly my disciple. And Jesus also gives persecution for his name's sake as a test of salvation, as it says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 10. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So remember, all of this applies to the helmet of salvation. And I think this is as far as I'm going to get today. So let me end with some applications questions for you. As I'm my place for picking up next week. Application questions. How are you assured of your salvation? And how sure are you of your salvation? Do you need assurance? How do you get your assurance? Second question. Can believers lose their salvation, or is it eternally kept by Christ? And this is the big one, because, again, we're living in crazy, crazy, crazy times. And, boy, you know, getting back to the shield of salvation, well, those darts aren't always aimed at our hearts. Sometimes they're aimed at our mind first. And unless you have the helmet of salvation on to protect your mind, you know, because from the mind goes right to the heart, and that goes right into action. So if the helmet of salvation refers to our hope of salvation, how can we keep our eyes on the eternal instead of the earthly? And like I said, for me, I got trapped for a number of hours, and my hope was in God. My hope is in God. My faith is in God. I actually got a T-shirt yesterday saying, worry ends when faith in God begins. And the Lord actually put that on my heart and literally in my After a bad incident, I ended up going shopping because I was frustrated, and that's my outlet. And I went to a little consignment shop, and right outside was this T-shirt. And I've been looking for a very, very comfortable, super, super soft Christian T-shirts. I didn't care if they're old, if they're new, or whatever, as long as they're soft and they're you know, scripture-based. So, you know, I'm foaming at the mouth. I'm livid, okay? There's fiery darts coming at me everywhere, and they're not being repelled. I mean, my mind is just going a gazillion miles an hour. And I'm like, no, 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 put your faith in the Lord, put your faith in the Lord. I'm trying to pray as I'm driving. And I get to this little consignment shop, which I detoured on a very, very last minute. I was about to get on the highway, and literally, I didn't. I mean, like, it was a split-second decision to go to the shop. And what was waiting on the rack right outside was this T-shirt. Worry ends when faith in God begins. Now, that's not God putting that in my path. I don't know what it is. So, anyway, I'm going to end today. And as I've said, whether it's, you know, trying to keep your heart or mind pure, using the shield of faith or the helmet of salvation, whatever, you know, areas or just difficulty that comes up answering the application questions and things come to mind, I encourage you to ask for his help in turning away from whatever it is you're dealing with. And as with all things, whether it be sin or the need to repent, just ask Jesus to bring to your attention any areas that may even be hidden to you or that you may have forgotten about, so that you can put that behind you and not let that hinder you in the eyes of our Lord, so that you truly are part of the remnant who are called the bride of Christ. And I always recommend that you pray for help. If you need any help in this area, I always say, please feel free to contact me. And I mean this very sincerely, at info@knowingchrist.com. And I'll be glad to help you in any way that I can. Remember, you need to put on the full armor of God, the whole armor, not just parts. And if you start to waver, if you're vacillating in any worldly area, guess what? Your armor of God's not on. It can be stripped from you in a heartbeat. One of the things that we talked about in my Bible group yesterday is how you put on the armor of God. And we're going to talk about that in our last episode after I get through all the parts of the armor. So if there's anything blocking you from putting on any specific garment we talked about or the whole armor of God, please pray for his help or, you know, and contact us at the same time. We're happy to help. So that brings us to the end of our show. For more information or to contact us, please email us at info@knowingchrist. I encourage you to visit our Facebook page and like us in order to stay abreast of our announcements. I also have a ministry page on MeWe under the same name, Knowing Christ Ministries. And I also encourage you to follow us on Blog Talk Radio so that you're notified of each new broadcast as well. Blog Talk Radio has a full archive of our shows of 10 years now, so I encourage you to take the time to review our full listing of 150, close to 160 shows. And if a title or series looks like something the Lord's leading you to at any given time, I really strongly encourage you to listen. So until next time, when we continue our discussion on the armor of God and how that can help assure that we are all rapture ready, this is Dr. Danielle West reminding you it's not what you know, but who you know. For Knowing Christ Ministries, I wish you a very, very blessed day. And I thank you so much for listening. God bless you.